go to Habakkuk, and I want you to go to chapter 1. Chapter 1. The sermon title today is The God of the Anxious. God of the Anxious, and it's part 1. I would like to preach this whole message today, but we do not have time, because I would probably keep you until 1 o'clock, and I don't think, Linda Bailey's always telling me, you need to preach longer, you need to preach longer. I don't think you would feel that way if I did part 1 and part 2 at the same time. So we'll just do part 1, so you need to come back next week, because there's going to be a surprise at the end of it, I believe, that's a surprise to me anyway, that you will be blessed by it. So in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? And every cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. A couple years ago, we used to watch a lot of DVDs at home. And it didn't matter, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but when you started a DVD player and turned on the sound of your TV, it did not make any difference how loud you turned it up. It was not hardly loud enough that you could hear it. So one day I'm walking through the Walmart clearance aisles, which I'm sure that you all walk through there too to see what they have, and they had a sound bar. So I thought, well, that's not very much money. I'll pick up the sound bar and we'll try to give it a try. So I took it home and plugged it in with our DVD player. And when you turned it on, it would always say, how long? How long? Grandma said that. She said, how long? And the boy said, what do you mean, how long? And she says, because every time you turn it on, it says, how long? And the boys looked at each other and just shook their heads and said, and Graham said, what? And they said, it's saying, power on. It is not saying how long, it's saying power on. Andrew just shakes his head. Come on, Lee, let's go to the basement. I can't take any more of this. So, you know, I say, that's what you get for living with old people. So that's been a joke, a running joke at our house for I don't know how long, and it's a woman's voice that says it. And Grandma Carol can mimic that voice. How long? So every time Leo says something or Andrew says something, she always says, how long? How long? They just shake their head. Here in Habakkuk, we see it's no joke. Because when you look at chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? In the NLT, it says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? How long will I call, but you do not listen? Out of anxiety, Habakkuk is crying out. In our society, anxiety has reached epidemic proportions. Throughout generations, it seems to grow at a new level, which each generation that comes upon. The highest level right now is in Generation Z. And if you don't know who Generation Z is, it's those that are born between 1997 and 2012. This generation seems to deal with it at a higher level than any generation before it. Now, I will not try to get into all the reasons that people deal with anxiety, but I will say this. When you kick God out of your school and out of your nation, you have a people that are left living in fear. Anxiety in Webster says this: worry or uneasiness about what may happen. Not necessarily that it has happened, but it's about what may happen. I'm not a counselor, and I'm not a psychologist, nor would I ever pretend to be, and I would never pretend to be that, but we do turn to the Word of God, because God knows more about our emotional makeup than anyone else in the world. Anxiety is not some new medical condition. There are countless examples in the Bible. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. So we're going back a long ways, and we can go all the way back to Job as well. But in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, I can get there. It says this. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. But a good word makes it glad. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. The book of Isaiah in chapter 35. Isaiah 35. So I want to try to give you some examples before we go forward, and I could give you examples the rest of the day out of the Bible. But in Isaiah 35, verse 4, it says, say to those who are fear-hearted, or fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, and do not fear. Those who have a fearful heart, those that are filled with anxiety, biblical characters that dealt with anxiety, go on and on and on. We can say King David, he could be a mountaintop on the mountaintop of praise, but also go to the pits of anxiety. Turn with me to a psalm of depression. Turn with me to Psalm 22. And besides Psalm 22, I have written the words, it is a psalm of depression. So when you go to Psalm 22, Psalm 22, and listen to the words. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The psalm goes on and on and on. Do you think that Job had anxiety when he wished that he had not even been born? Do you think that Peter had anxiety when he was walking on the water and all of a sudden he started to see the waters that were swirling up around him and he started to sink? Anxiety does not identify us, so don't let it. Anxiety doesn't tell us who we are, so don't let it. There is not one sermon cure-all, but I believe it can help you support you through the feelings of anxiety that you have. And I know that many people in our church, it's just not one or two, but there are a lot of people in our church that deal with anxiety on a daily level. Walking in faith is critically important, and you all know that. We are saved by our faith. We are healed by our faith. We are delivered by our faith. We have answered prayer by our faith. But there's something else critical in our faith walk. It's the object of your faith. In every one of our examples, whether it be David, Habakkuk, Job, or Peter, the object of their faith had changed. So let me explain in a very simple way. The object of your faith is keeping your eyes on God no matter what you're going through and no matter the circumstance that you're facing. When you take your eyes off of God, most typically, you put them on yourself. And when you put them on yourself, then that becomes the object of your faith. It will fail every time. In the biblical examples, every believer took their eyes off of God. In my faith walk, God must be the object of my faith. Now turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. In John 14 and verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now say that again. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be filled with anxiety. And who is the object of your faith in this example in verse 1? You believe in God, believe also in me. I want you to get this in your understanding. In my faith walk, the object of my faith, the objective, must be God through Christ at all times. Because if it's not, you will switch to yourself. And when you switch to yourself, you will feel your anxiety go like this. I'll give you an example that I was going to save for next week, but I'll share it today. On Monday, I went to the doctor. And I kind of got my tail chewed because I hadn't been to the doctor for 3 years for a physical, for anything. And my wife, my beautiful wife, says, "You haven't been to the doctor in 3 years?" When I got up there, they didn't even remember who I was. I had to remind them who I was. So I'm going up to the doctor because now I had blood work done. I had to schedule appointments, so I'm going on up to the doctor. And as I was going up to the doctor, you know, one of the reasons I don't go to the doctor is because I don't believe a lot in doctors. I don't have a lot of trust in doctors, but I've had open heart surgery. I've had cancer. I've had a kidney removed. I don't want to go up and face a doctor and hear anything bad. You get it? Who wants to go to the doctor and they start rattling off all these things that's wrong with you? All of a sudden, you just kind of have a step back. You know, I don't want to know anything. And when I fall over dead, they could have my funeral and I don't have to be worried about it. Worried about it. I'm up going up to Des Moines in my truck on Monday. And all of a sudden, this anxiety swept over me. Oh, what am I going to find out? What's going to happen when they take blood today? And you know what I said? Lord, I am not going there.
Amen.
And I started praying in an unknown language. I started praying in tongues. Amen. I started building myself up at the most holy faith. You know what I was going in there? Lord, I don't have this. You got it.
Amen.
Because when I was praying, I felt an electrical shock go through my body. And when I felt that, I thought, Lord, there is nothing there because whatever was there is gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You must build yourself up in the most holy faith, because if your object of your faith comes off of God and comes off onto yourself, you will be filled with anxiety. When I lose my objective of God through Christ in faith in my walk, then who does the object of my faith focuses on? It focuses on yourself. When that happens, I become filled with anxiety because dependence is on self instead of God. And when you put your dependence upon yourself, you will feel the failings that will take place in your life. If there's not enough failings you already feel about your life, the adversary's out there telling you how much you've failed. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Gosh, I already got in next week's sermon. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Now, if you're rejoicing in the Lord, where is your focus at? Your focus is on God. And he says, "Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be what? Anxious. For nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Because what are you doing? In my prayer life, in my focus, my life, my object, the objection or object of my life and my faith is the Lord God. And when I focus on Him, what happens? Verse 7, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I'm not telling you anything that's special here. I'm telling you something that we all should know and we should all put to practice. Whenever you depend on yourself, you will become anxious of the things that you're facing in life because you do not know what to do. But when you serve an all-knowing God that's going to take care of His people, that's going to meet every one of the needs of the people, you don't have to put all that burden on yourself. You can put it on your Creator, and all of a sudden, yes, I can walk in faith in this. Yes, I can face this because God is right there with me. As we shared in the scripture this morning, He's in the palm. You are in the palm of your hand, His hand. You are sealed for the day of redemption, and nobody can take you out. Hallelujah. Where is my focus in verse 4? My focus is on God. Verse 6 through 7, when the object of my faith is on God, I will be surrounded by an unexplainable amount of peace. Anxiety is found in self. Peace is found in God. Self-reliance does not work. God's reliance does work. Now turn with me to John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. And this is what he says. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have what? Peace. Because your object is me. In the world you will have nothing but tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in this scripture, who or what is the object of my faith? It's Jesus. For years the school system has taught that you can do and be whatever you want. You've got this, it's yours, you own it. But what does the scripture say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? That through Christ, in Christ, all things are possible. Amen. It's not through yourself, it's found in Jesus. The scripture says pride comes before a fall. My trust must be in God through Christ. It cannot be in myself. Christian, you are a new person, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, you do not walk in your old ways. And if you're walking in your own ways, you will be filled with anxiety. But if you walk in your new ways, where Christ is the King of your life, He is the Lord of your life, I'm walking in my trust of my God and my believer, who is my provider, I will walk in faith. Amen. The scripture says pride comes before that fall. My trust must be in God. Through you, Father, I have this. Through your strength, I've got this. Now, one last look at Habakkuk before we leave today. Turn with me to chapter 1 again. Chapter 1, we'll reread that scripture. And there is countless instances of this in the Bible. How many times do you remember reading about King David in the Psalms when he is on top of the mountain? He's praising God. He's worshiping God. He's exalting God. And how many times have you read in the Psalms where you could pick his lip up off the dirt? It's because he's got his eyes off of God and got his eyes on himself. As long as his eyes were on God, he was walking in strength, and he was praising God, and he was worshiping God. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he started to fall, just like Peter walking on the water. Now, in this scripture here of Habakkuk, we see in verse 2, it says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. This is the view that Habakkuk has when he looks through his own eyes. It's like somebody that says, well, the glass is half full. But somebody else says, that glass is half empty. If you look through your own eyes at the world's perspective, what's going on in Israel? What's going on in Iran? What's going on in Russia? Are we leading into a world war? Have we got all these things that are coming across the border? How many terrorists have come across the border? How many terrorist organizations are trying to organize in the United States to pull off something? We're on high alert in all the major cities in the United States. Why? Because they're afraid of a terrorist attack. You will allow those things to eat you up. But when you say, God, you are my provider, you are my king, you are my Lord, I have nothing to worry, because if I leave this earth, I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. Then you can say that I am not filled with anxiety, but I am filled with the grace of God. When Habakkuk looks through the world in his own eyes, what you see in chapter 1 is what he sees. But now I want you to turn to chapter 3, and we're going to look through his eyes as he looks unto the Lord. So chapter 3, verse 17, and look at this faith proclamation that Habakkuk makes. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk in my high hills. Hallelujah! All of a sudden, his perspective changed. He's not filled with anxiety anymore because he's looking at the world through the eyes of God. If you look through this world that we live in today through your own eyes, you say, this place is a mess and it's getting worse every day. But I look through the eyes of God. He says, I've got everything in the palm of my hand. Nothing's going to be done unless I allow it to be done. All of a sudden, I'm not filled with anxiety, but I'm filled with faith. I will walk in faith because you are my faith. It is founded in you. I will not walk in fear, but faith in an all-consuming God. I want to go on, but I won't today. We're going to close today with some faith statements. Will you stand with me today? There is a lot of people in our church that deals with anxiety, and maybe we all deal with anxiety at one time or another. But for some people, anxiety can become debilitating. If you've ever been depressed in your life where you didn't want to get out of bed because you're going to have to face the world, I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that. If you never wanted to go to the outside of your house because felt safe in your house and felt like everything on the outside of the house is going to be a mess, there's a lot of people in here that can relate to you. God is a God of anxiety. I want you to know that, because there's countless of examples over and over in the Bible of those that dealt with anxiety, and we're going to talk more about them next week. The faith statement today, say these words after me. I will not allow anxiety to define me. Anxiety doesn't tell me who I am. I am a child of God. I belong to my Heavenly Father. I will walk in faith. My God defines who I am. Now let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah! Thank you, Father, for defining us as your children today. We glorify and magnify your name. Father, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon your children and the families of this church. And Father, I pray that as we leave and go our separate ways, your hand would be upon our lives, that Father, we would walk in faith, we would trust you, our object of our faith would be you through Jesus Christ, and Father, you would give us the comfort and the peace and the presence, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. 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 You are dismissed. Have a great week.